Good morning, everybody. Good morning. My name is Steve. If we've not met before, it's really good to meet you, and we're really glad that you're here today. I'm just going to pray for us before we dive into the Word together today. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity just to come around your Word together. And we just ask now, will you speak to us? Will you guide us? Will you lead us? Holy Spirit, will you change us? Will you transform us today in becoming more like Jesus? Amen. Amen. So there was definitely a lot of conversation going on there. I don't know if it was about the question or not, but let's find out. So what brings you joy at Christmas? Let's start over this side. What brings you joy at Christmas, anyone? Family? Friends? Food? Giving? Christmas decorations, wonderful. Let's move more over here. Any more from the middle? Carol's Christmas dinner. Hot chocolate. Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Some over here. Pigs in blankets brings Paul great joy. Family. Yeah, Brussels sprouts for some. Any more? What was that one? No, okay. Brilliant. When I was a child, there were a few things that stood out for me. The first thing was when the Christmas TV guide came out. That was like a real moment because we didn't have online streaming where you could watch whatever you want, whenever you want. We would have to wait. Okay, wait. Some of you don't know what that means when it comes to watching things, but you'd have to wait for it to come on a certain day at a certain time. So in our household, we would circle the things that we wanted to watch at Christmas. We would schedule the VHS, and we would make sure we had it all recorded. Anyone remember those days? Now, the other thing was, and my answer to that question when I think back to being a child was absolutely to do with presents, receiving presents. It's okay to admit that. Anybody else find that joyful, receiving? You're all, most of you I know are givers, but some of us are receivers. We do enjoy receiving the gifts. And I loved it when the Christmas edition of the Argos catalogue would appear. Or Index. Remember Index? Yes. Littlewoods? Yes. Yeah. Chad's? No, that was the Hereford department store where we were. I would love it when the catalogue would come out because me and my brother, we would grab the catalogue and we would circle everything that we wanted out of the catalogue. And with great hope, we would then wait for Christmas morning. What we would do is we would circle things in the catalogue that we would like, and then we would write our letters to Santa, and then came the big wait, as we would wait to find out whether our hopes would be fulfilled. And of course, we had the advent calendar, which would help in some way with the wait, you know, that tiny window with that tiny bit of chocolate. It just gets you through that long wait, doesn't it? And then comes Christmas morning, and we would go racing downstairs to find what Santa has brought us. And it brought great joy. Some of the gifts that I remember fondly were a transporter lorry with all of these cars on it. It was amazing. Noddy bath crayons. Anybody ever get any Noddy bath crayons? No, just me, okay. That was in the Chad's catalogue, I think. A handheld pinball game. And one year, this legendary 5-foot snooker table, which we got for the garage. That was brilliant. Back then, joy for me was essentially, what did I unwrap? Brought great joy. But as you get older, something shifts, doesn't it? Yes, Christmas can still be full of things that we enjoy, the family, the food, the films, the fun. But the simple childhood joy gets mixed with a whole lot more. There's the pressures, there's the expectations, there's the logistics, there's the empty chairs, there's the stressful budgets, there's the busyness, and for me, there's the sprouts. The things that brought us joy when we were children don't always carry the same weight as we get older. And so here's the question that I want us to look at together today. What does true joy look like at Christmas? What does true joy look like at Christmas? Because if it is only the gifts or the food or the atmosphere, then what will happen is our joy will rise and fall with how well December goes for us, or with who does or who doesn't turn up on Christmas Day, and so many other conditions that we can put on our potential for joy at Christmas. And for many of us, December doesn't always go to plan, does it? So today, here's what I want to suggest, and you might agree with this, and you might not, that's okay. But this is what we're going to look at together today, that the true joy of Christmas is God with us. I think a lot of those things that we've all mentioned together, they're really the things that affect our happiness because they're dependent upon our circumstances. But today, I believe that the true joy of Christmas is God with us. God with us. Now, that doesn't mean, as we said, that we can't still experience joy in all those other things that we've mentioned today. But here's the difference. God with us is the joy that will never change. It doesn't depend on our age or our circumstances or how perfectly December goes. God with us is joy that lasts. And maybe this Christmas, that's what we need most. A joy that doesn't depend on the presents arriving for people like me, or the dinner turning out perfectly, or who does or doesn't show up at Christmas, or is everybody going to be in the right mood on Christmas Day? Maybe we need a joy that can hold steady even when things feel uncertain or difficult in our lives. So as we're asking that question, what does true joy look like at Christmas? And I want to make the argument that true joy at Christmas is God with us. Then maybe you don't know this, but God with us has a name. And it's in the Bible, and we've been singing songs about it today, which is brilliant. And it's this name, Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And to really understand why God with us is such joyful news, then today what we need to do is we need to zoom out a little bit for a moment and rewind back from the Christmas story. And we need to go way back to the beginning of the Bible. And at the beginning of the Bible, we find a book called Genesis. And in Genesis, this is where humanity enjoys this really close, light, easy friendship with God. We've got two people, Adam and Eve, the first human beings. And they're walking around the garden, enjoying presence with God, the presence of God. And that was normal, and that was great joy. But then turn a couple of pages and we arrive in Genesis chapter 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, everything changes. Trust is broken. Relationships are fractured. And humanity steps into a world that is now going to be marked by this distance in relationship from God. And from that moment on, humanity is waiting and longing for God to draw close again, for this separation not to exist anymore. And in that moment, we see that Adam and Eve, they're sent away from the garden. But way back in Genesis chapter 3, there's this amazing promise which God speaks. And in this promise, he plants this seed of hope. And it's this promise that one day someone will come from the family line of Adam and Eve and will undo the damage that has been caused, and will crush evil at its root. So there's this promise, this glimmer of hope. And then as the story unfolds throughout Scripture, throughout the Bible, we read of a nation called Israel. And Israel keeps waiting. They're longing to have this relationship with God that isn't dependent upon things like sacrifices. And through their many mistakes and through an exile and through uncertainty, into that mess, there's a man called Isaiah. And Isaiah was a prophet. He was somebody who spoke on God's behalf to the people to bring them hope and, hope. That's the word I'm looking for. And in this prophecy that he speaks out, he talks about how a child is coming. And he says this child will be called Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God is going to be with us. Now, as Isaiah speaks out that prophecy, it's not yet the fulfillment. It's again another sign that God has not forgotten his people. And then, as the last prophet of Israel speaks, what follows is 400 years of silence. Anybody think that's a good idea, 400 years of silence? No prophets, no fresh words spoken from God, simply waiting. And some of us perhaps know that feeling all too well of waiting this Christmas. We're waiting for some good news. We're waiting for change. We're waiting for things just to be okay again. We've prayed today for somebody waiting. You know what we see when we look in Scripture? We see that yes, there was silence, and yes, there was a lot of waiting. But the story of God is that God is still working in the waiting. God is still working in the waiting. And so today, if that's your story and you're waiting, just know this, God is still at work. And then finally, we come to this man called Zechariah in the New Testament, on the opening pages of the New Testament. And Zechariah announces that this long night, this long wait of silence, it's ending. And we get these amazing words where it says that God's tender mercy is about to break like morning light and lead people into peace. And so all of the things that we've talked about there, Eden and the promise that came way back in the garden, and then the prophets that spoke and the silence, it builds to this one moment when Jesus arrives. And in this one moment when Jesus arrives, it's God with us. It's God in human flesh. And so that joy that humanity has been aching for since way back in Genesis 3, it arrives through the person of Jesus. And as we arrive in the New Testament, we begin to find out what God with us really means. Now, for some of us, this name, Emmanuel, you're sitting there and you're thinking, yeah, I know that. Give yourself a pat on the back if you already know that. But I wonder whether you're here today, and as you hear about God with us, Emmanuel, it's become too familiar. And you've lost something of the wonder of that truth, that today we can know a relationship with God because God is with us right now in this moment. There's a pastor called Rich Viotis, and he says this, familiarity has a way of eliminating wonder. Familiarity has a way of eliminating wonder. And what he means is that sometimes things that perhaps made us wonder and made us think, wow, we become overly familiar. Some of you have been married for decades and you've lost that wonder of your spouse. No, you haven't really, have you? But that's what can happen to us when we hear and read of these amazing truths, that God is with us. Think about it like this. I don't know whether anybody has taken time to look at the night sky at the moment. But you know, every day the night comes and we see, if it's not cloudy, we see the moon and we see the stars. And you know, when you look up at the moon and the stars, it is epic. This week there were meteor showers in the sky. Like, that is an incredible thing that we get to see. We don't have to watch it on the telly. We can just look up into the night sky. But what can happen is we can become so over familiar with what's in the sky that it loses its wonder. And my prayer for us today is that as we look at this story, as we look at Jesus' arrival today, we would be filled with fresh awe and wonder at this amazing truth that the true joy of Christmas is God with us. So Matthew chapter 1, let's look at it together. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary and Joseph... Sorry, this is from verse 18. His mother Mary and Joseph had promised to get married, but before they started to live together, it became clear that she was going to have a baby. She became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph was faithful to the law, But he did not want to put her to shame in public, so he planned to divorce her quietly. Just as Joseph was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. The baby inside her is from the Holy Spirit. She's going to have a son. You must give him the name Jesus. That's because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to bring about what the Lord had said would happen. He had said through the prophet, that's Isaiah, "The virgin is going to have a baby. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel." The name Emmanuel means God with us. Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. He took Mary home as his wife, but he did not sleep with her until she gave birth to a son. And Joseph gave him the name Jesus. So here Matthew announces and reminds us that Jesus' name is Emmanuel, which means God with us, just as Isaiah had prophesied long ago. Now think about it for a moment. This is the moment that God joins humanity. This is that moment, God with us. Like, stop and let that sink in for a moment. This is that earth-shattering, future-changing truth, that God became one of us. And when I think about that, it makes me smile, because I think about that long wait. When I talked before about how hard it was to wait for just 24 sleeps for the gift to arrive on Christmas Day as a child. Like, this wasn't 24 days, it wasn't 24 years, it was thousands of years. And here, in this moment, after generation of longing and hoping and wondering if God would ever come near again, Jesus finally arrives. And it wasn't just Christmas morning excitement as you find that present that you'd hoped for from the Argos catalog. It was the arrival of the one that people had been longing and waiting for. And here's the good news today. We're living on the other side of that wait. We don't have to wait today to have that relationship with Jesus, who is God with us. And so we've been asking that question, what is true joy at Christmas? And the argument I'm making is that true joy at Christmas is that God is now with us. And so why is that such amazing news this Christmas? Why does it matter so deeply to us? And in true wise men fashion, I've got three gifts for us today. Three gifts that show us the reason why Emmanuel, God with us, is the real joy of Christmas. And to open gift number one, I want to invite Ben up to the stage. And also, Paul and Di, can you come and help me? Would that be okay? So let's hear it for Ben and Paul and Di. So, Ben gets to open gift number one. So, Ben, I want you to think back to that Christmas morning excitement as a child. Can you open that gift for us, Ben? Anywhere, Ben. You just rip it open. Don't be strategic, just rip it open. And next Christmas, we'll find out what's inside it, everyone, okay? No, we won't. Right, Ben, so I need you just to hold it that way for us. Okay, so that way for us, right. Di and Paul, can you hold either side of that for us? Come this way, sorry, so we can see it on the camera. Come this way, keep coming this way for us. Keep coming, right. And then, Ben, if you take your hands off. Okay, so I don't know if you can read that, but I said to Ben this morning, "Ben, are you feeling flexible?" And he said, "Yes." If you can't read it, it says, "Let's all do the limbo." Let's all do the limbo. Because who doesn't love a good game of limbo at Christmas, right? Does anybody ever play limbo at Christmas? I've not either, by the way. But just bear with me for a moment. Now, Ben, how low would you like them to go? Or how low can you go, Ben? Do a little stretch as well. Right, do you want it lower than that, Ben? Can you manage lower? Who thinks lower? Higher? Lower, Ben. Right, Ben, how does that feel? Can you manage that? Just give me a moment. Right, you ready, Ben? No, you can't, your hands can't touch the floor, Ben. Right, come on, everybody, let's give him a clap. How low can you go like that, Ben? No, no, Ben, that's not the limbo. You have to go backwards like that, Ben. Right, come on, let's try it again. Right, false start, everybody. Big slow clap for him, everyone. Come on, Ben, how low can you go? He's nearly three. Well done, Ben. Now, Ben. Ben, if you could just reveal for us, what does it say on the other side of the limbo bar?
Can you read backwards?
It says, God finds me.
God finds me.
Sorry, Ben. I made that way too complicated for Ben there. It was upside down. He was doing his best there. God finds me. Now, Ben, the good news is that this is your gift. Because inside this tube is a great big picture of you and Caitlin. And that's yours for Christmas, all right? I feel like you're clapping me for being generous. Just to clarify, Ben and Caitlin brought it for the wedding. It's been living back there. And I just needed an excuse to give it back to him. So there you go, Ben. That's for you. All right. Happy Christmas. And thank you, Paul and Di. Now, the whole point of limbo is how low can you go? And that is the heart of our first gift today. Bear with me. The link is coming, I promise you. But Christmas tells us that God doesn't wait for us to climb up to him. We can't do that. Like, we can't do anything to bring back that relationship which was damaged and broken in the garden through Adam and Eve. It's all on God coming down to find us. And that's the great news today, that he comes down to find us. He comes low enough to find us. Some of us perhaps have this view of God as being distant. Maybe you view God as being, yes, all-powerful, but distant, far away. But Christmas, what we celebrate at Christmas, it pushes back on that today. And it says this, God steps down to find us. God steps towards us. He doesn't leave us as we are. He comes and he finds us. Listen to how Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 2. Instead, he, that's Jesus, made himself nothing. He did this by taking on the nature of a servant. He was made just like human beings. He appeared as a man. He was humbled and obeyed God completely. He did this even though it led to his death. Even worse, he died on a cross. The God who created everything didn't stay high and unreachable. He stepped down and he stepped into our story and he came looking for us. I like how poet John Betjeman says it. I apologize, John, if you're listening and I've said your name wrong, but he says this. He says, the maker of the stars and sea became a child on earth for me. Our heavenly creator came and he stepped down to be with us. You don't have to climb your way up to God. There's nothing that you can do to achieve relationship with him. You don't have to sort yourself out first. It's a free gift this Christmas that he comes to find each and every one of us, to be our friend, to have relationship with us. He comes low enough to reach us. And that's gift number one of the joy of Christmas. Agnes, could you come and open gift number two? Do not worry. You don't have to be flexible for this one. Just come and open the gift for me. Is that all right? Agnes, you could... Actually, no, yeah, sorry. I need you up here. I was going to say you could stay down there, but no, I need you up here. Sorry. I don't know. I should have asked for this beforehand. I don't know if there's any way that the camera might be able to zoom in on this, but if not, please do not worry or do not panic. Right, Agnes, you get to open gift number two. Just on your nails. They look lovely. Christmas nails for the occasion. Can the camera zoom in on the nails or no? Just show everybody afterwards. This is your gift. So tell everyone what you've got.
A post-it and a marker pen.
Post-it and a marker pen now. No, that's it. You can keep the gift if you'd like, though. The box, sorry. Right. Agnes, I need you to look that way for me, okay? Just give me one moment, everyone.
Did you not look? Could you close your eyes? Did you see what was on there?
Not yet.
Okay, good. Right, close your eyes for us, Agnes. Right, I don't know if the camera's going to pick that up. Can you see that? My handwriting's not brilliant. Can people see that near the front? No, don't say it. Can you kind of see it? Okay, right, Agnes, I'm going to pop this on your forehead, so just stay still for a minute. Okay, Agnes, you've got, let's not go for 20 questions, let's go for 10 questions quickly for us. And people are allowed to say yes or no to your questions, okay? You've got to work out who is this on your head.
Are you going to give me a clue?
No, that's what you've got to find out. So you need to, I thought you knew the game because you said, oh, we're playing that game, but okay. So you need to ask some questions to everybody, the answer will be yes or no, and that's how you're going to work out who is on your head.
I can do this. Is it Christmas related?
No.
It's a very mixed answer.
It's a mixed answer. Go with no.
Is it food related?
No.
Is it a person?
Yes.
Is it Saviour?
No.
Male or female?
Yeah, you've got to say, is it a male?
Oh.
Male,
okay. I don't know where to go next. Is he old, younger? Oh, medium. What is medium? Old.
I think they're in their 70s, I think.
70s?
I think so, is that right?
Is it Christian related or everyday life?
Loosely.
This is really hard.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go next. Is it part of the royal family?
Yes.
Oh! Is it the current king?
Yes.
Oh, is it Charles?
Yes.
Oh!
Well done, Agnes. Let's hear it for Agnes. Agnes, you can keep the box. Would you like the post-it notes and the pen so you can play it this Christmas?
Well, thank you.
There you go. It's amazing. How did you do that? You said, I don't know where to go. Are they part of the royal family? Like, did you see the screen or? Well done, Agnes. That was amazing. Very good. Now, I don't know if you've ever played that game before, but as a child, I would love going to my grandparents' farm every Boxing Day, and we would play 20 questions. Everyone gets the name on their head. You'd have to go around asking yes or no questions. Gift number two is this. God knows me. God knows me. He comes low enough, as we heard before, to reach us. And it's a really joyful gift. In the game of 20 questions, you try to figure out what is hidden in the answer. You guess, you narrow things down, you hope that you're getting closer. But God doesn't need 20 questions today. He knows each and every one of us completely. Every thought, every fear, every joyful experience in our lives, every burden that we face. And you know, the amazing truth is this, that he knows us inside and out. And he doesn't turn away from us. He comes towards us. He comes to find us. He knows us. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 2, and this is about Jesus. It says this, so he had to be made like people, fully human in every way. Then he could serve God as a kind and faithful high priest. And then he could pay for the sins of the people by dying for them. He himself suffered when he was tempted. Now he is able to help others who are being tempted. Jesus didn't just enter into our world. He entered into and stepped into our humanity. He knows fear. He knows temptation. He knows sadness. He knows pressure. He knows pain. He knows grief. He knows betrayal. Tim Keller puts it this way. God has been in the darkness that you are in now and more. So you can trust him. today, if life is difficult for you, you can trust in God because he knows. He's been through, in the person of Jesus, incredibly difficult experiences and situations and circumstances. He knows. He knows everything about our lives. And so when we pray, as Adam talked about before, that we can all do, when we pray, you're not explaining yourself to God in heaven who doesn't understand, who doesn't get it. That's the whole point of Emmanuel, God with us. He gets it. He understands. He knows you. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going through. There's no guessing when it comes to God. There's no hiding. There's no pretending. He knows you fully and full of love. And that's a gift that's worth opening. Who on this front row over here would like to... Alyssa, come and open the third and final gift for us. Now, this one doesn't have fancy wrapping paper, but it has, as Lois told me, a beautiful red envelope. Thank you, Lois, for providing that. You can open it for us. This is our final gift today. Alyssa, do you want to read it to everyone?
You are invited to enjoy friendship with God.
You are invited to join. Now, probably feels a bit of a letdown after the last two prizes, but, sorry, not prizes, gifts. Like, this is an amazing gift, everyone. Thank you, Alyssa. You can keep that as well. And re-gift it if you like. Yeah, round of applause for Alyssa for opening the envelope. Well done, Alyssa. You opened it so well. The first gift that Ben opened tells us about how God comes down low to find us. The second tells us that he knows us completely. And this third gift tells us that he invites us into friendship with him. And so here's the invitation today. And the invitation might sound slightly different for you, depending on who you are and where you're at in life with God. Maybe you don't yet know Emmanuel. Maybe you don't yet know the person Emmanuel, God with us this Christmas. Maybe he feels distant or like a story that you've heard from long ago. The invitation today for you is that you, this Christmas, you can know him. You can experience the joy that comes from walking with God who is near. You can experience that friendship with the one who came to be with us. Maybe today the invite for you is that you have known Emmanuel. You have at some point in your life decided to follow him. But if you're honest, things in your friendship and your relationship with Jesus have faded somewhat. Maybe the lights of life or the pressures or the busyness have crowded out your joy of knowing Emmanuel. Well, the invitation for you today is this. God is saying, come closer. Make room for him. Let him in again this Christmas. Let your heart warm to Emmanuel this Christmas. Maybe today your relationship with God has felt somewhat transactional. And what I mean by that is this. You've prayed prayers like, God, please fix this. Please sort this out. Please make this right. And those prayers are good prayers. But because you've not necessarily seen them answered in the way that you hoped for or longed for, your joy in who God is has somewhat faded as well. You perhaps feel like a bit let down today. But remember this, that God is still at work in whatever the answer is, whether it's yes, maybe, or no. He's still at work because he's God and he's over all things. And he loves you so tenderly, so full of mercy that he comes down to find you. And today you can have a relationship with him again afresh. The joy of God with us is that Jesus invites you into that friendship. And it's not a transaction. It's not a checklist. It's a relationship that you can have with him. Maybe today you actually feel like you're in a good place in your walk with Jesus. Then the invitation for you this Christmas is to keep wondering, to keep looking on Emmanuel with awe and wonder and amazement, and to keep seeking him, and to keep allowing yourself to be amazed by the truth that God is with us. And he calls you into his joy, fresh and anew every day in your life. The wonder of Christmas is this: God doesn't just find us. He doesn't just know us. He invites us to have and experience friendship with him. As we come to the end of our time together today, I wonder if we could just take a moment together just to pause and reflect on this amazing truth of who Emmanuel is, God with us. We've unwrapped three incredible gifts today. God finds us, God knows us, and God invites us into friendship. The wonder of Christmas, it isn't in the presents or the food or the perfect family moment that we so hope for. The wonder of Christmas, the joy of Christmas, is God with us. Jesus is God with us, Emmanuel. And he's inviting us all today to know him, to walk with him, and to experience his joy today. So as we close, I want to invite you just to simply listen and reflect. And what we're going to do is we're going to put a song on the screen. It's called The Name of Emmanuel by Matt Redman. And you may or may not know this song, but it doesn't matter whether you do or don't. The words are going to come up, and what I want to invite you to do, I'll get my words out, is just to reflect on these words today. Remember that Jesus is so near and close to each and every one of us today. Let these words remind you of his presence, of his joy, of his invitation. And if you want, in this moment, you can close your eyes, you can take a deep breath, and you can hear God's invitation today as he says to you, come closer, I am with you. And my prayer for us all today is that this Christmas, whether it's for the first time or it's coming alive and afresh to us again today, is that we would all know Emmanuel, God with us this Christmas.